from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Happy Open Line Thursday, all. We are the Junks. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next 5-star technician, it's very simple. Go to cropmetcalf.com. Get more information about that. Today, you got a 3-man junk show. I'm your pal, Cakes, at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter. I'm joined by Jason Bishop.
Maybe we can set a record for calls taken on OLT.
I don't think so.
During the summer, I don't know. I don't think so. That could be a big ask.
I like the enthusiasm that you have for it.
Yeah.
The optimism.
It's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, probably right.
We've trained them to just sit there and listen.
And not participate that much.
Yeah, we've spoiled
them. We take too much of the burden upon ourselves.
Yeah,
we've every single them day.
All these years.
It's basically what we do. Eric Bickle also here.
Eric-Bickle-3, and I did have a question for you, Johnny Cakes.
Okay, fire away. I don't know if I have an answer, but I will answer to the best of my abilities.
From Thomas Turner.
Okay.
He won from Salem,
you have a
Virginia.
Venmo question. I thought you actually had a question from yourself.
No.
So this means you're $5 richer.
Yes. I have a question for Cakes. Has he ever seen the documentary Heavy Metal Parking Lot?
Of course I've seen Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
All right.
I mean, it's a world famous documentary that was shot back in the 80s. I think it's about 30 to 35 minutes in length. And it just is documenting a bunch of burnouts hanging out in the Capitol Center parking lot before a Judas Priest concert.
That's it.
It's just kind of
is it
like
a good doc, or is it?
It's hilarious. Oh, if you're into that scene from back in the day,
right.
Like if you grew up around that time.
Right.
And look, three of us grew up within 10 minutes of the Capitol Center where the Wizards and the then
Jason
bullets.
Did too, right?
Yeah, you did too. That's true. You were pretty close.
I mean, Lanham is, maybe
right,
12.
So, I mean, we spent a lot of our formative years at that building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we went to Bullets games, Capitals games, concerts. My high school graduation was at Capitol Center. WWF then, wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a funny look at, heavy metal culture in the mid-80s.
Wow.
And it features Jason's favorite British heavy metal band, of course, Judas Priest.
Right. Mm. So it's a cult classic documentary.
Right.
I mean, I watched it like 20 years ago, probably, when I was in Arizona and somebody was raving about it.
Right.
It kind of like blew my mind, but I didn't never put it together that it was at Cap 1.
That
Cap
happened like basically in our backyard.
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
Yes, Texas.
It was worth $5 for that guy just to say, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, a little few ADs.
See, what he's going to do is next week when he's on vacation, he's going to get a bill like for dinner, and he's going to say, half of this bill was funded by Venmo questions.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Right. My Venmo, it's going toward a putter. It's going towards a putter.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's my slush fund.
That's the slush fund.
By the way, Valdez yesterday was texting me. I didn't know Valdez fancies himself a wine connoisseur, all these little wine nuggets.
Oh.
And then he was saying that he gave me a recommendation for a wine documentary. Right?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned Stag's Leap yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stag's Leap is a very influential wine.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I learned it on a documentary that I watched years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It basically made Napa.
Okay.
It's all because of Stag's Leap.
Well, it sounds like Jason should watch that because he's heading out
it's
that part of the world.
It's, It won the Decision of Paris in 1976.
I don't even know what that is. It was a blind tasting
To figure out which was the best cab.
Yeah.
And a Napa cab won over all of these French wines and Italian wines and everything.
Right.
And basically built the entire wine industry. Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah. I told you, I plead ignorance. My buddy said it was, you know, popular. But he said it's a very, very good wine, and I absolutely loved it. And believe me, I'm not a wine connoisseur. I mostly don't like wine.
Mm.
That wine,
I can enjoy.
I really enjoy.
I can enjoy an occasional glass of wine with like a fancy dinner, but I would never consider myself a wine
connoisseur. I told Eric it's the food and beverage equivalent of the Miracle on Ice.
Okay.
For Stag's Leap to win that event or whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. I have a go-to now, and you know, it's no secret, but it's a go-to.
Maybe this is dumb that I let this intimidate me. I'm still intimidated by opening a bottle of wine with like a standard old school corkscrew.
Why?
I just feel like I'm gonna mess it up. Like I'm gonna destroy the cork. It's gonna fall down into the wine. It's gonna turn into a debacle.
As long as it's not like the cork's not like ruined, like, you know, from maybe poor storage or something. Yeah. You should be fine.
Yeah. I shouldn't let it bother me.
You don't let it bother you.
But I do.
Don't panic.
It's in my brain.
Yeah, don't panic.
I can't help myself. Yeah. I can't get around it.
I mean, that's all we have is the cheap, old, almost looks like a toe clipper. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's what we have. We don't have any fancy wine openers.
I think I was gifted a fancy one, but it has cobwebs on it. Like, when would I? I'm not breaking open bottles of wine with like a Wednesday night dinner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I actually told my wife I'm not drinking all week this week, which would be a first for a while.
Okay.
But and then she said, "What are you going to do? Just binge all next week?" I said, "Yeah."
You're saving it up for the vacation.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. You're saving it up for all next week.
Very good.
Plotting. What cooler I'm going to bring, what speaker I'm going to bring,
very
what
good.
Booze I'm going to bring.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just so
excited.
A lot excited.
Of planning, a lot of drinking
is
planning.
Is next week Carolina or Ocean City?
No, Outer Banks.
Outer Banks.
I probably do Ocean City a weekend that my son plays in this lacrosse event.
Yeah.
And I just drink alone at Fenwick Inn.
It sounds like quite a plan.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
You got to be a planner, like Valdez, the ultimate planner.
Right. I'm trying to drink more pomegranate juice now, too.
Is that supposed to have health benefits? It's
supposed to be like good for your cholesterol and stuff like that. So, I mean, because I just, when I read that doctor's thing about all the things you're supposed to avoid, and I literally ingest all of it every day.
Sure.
Fast food, cheese, alcohol, and soda.
Yeah.
That's literally
top four.
The staple of my diet.
I'm just glad to see coffee wasn't on the list.
Coffee, I think, is okay.
Valdez and I are just punishing pot after pot after pot.
Right.
and Karina as well. We now share the pot with Karina.
You do.
She's now in the mix. Yes.
Right. So I didn't watch any of the U.S. soccer yesterday. But I did see that France just kind of ran away with it in the second half. Not a surprise. Especially the U23.
I watched some rugby yesterday.
You did?
Very nice.
Did you figure it out?
Not really. I mean, New Zealand pummeled Japan. I mean, New Zealand was just better. Japan actually took a 7-0 lead.
Uh-huh.
And then New Zealand just rolled off about 30 straight points.
I'm stepping out onto a very flimsy limb here because I couldn't know less about rugby, though I was exposed to it last week when I went to Audi Field and watched USA Scotland. I think the version they're playing in the Olympics is called sevens.
Sure.
Where there are less players on the field than like in a typical standard international rugby match.
Makes sense. Okay. In lacrosse, they're doing sixes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Just,
the version you're seeing in the Olympics is not the standard that you're going to see like in a real like international match.
Right.
It's kind of like an offshoot, like a hybrid.
In rugby, they start out in the scrum thing. They kind of snap it to the other guy, then he swings it all the way over to the running back guy.
I mean, I watched about 60 or 70 minutes of the match, and for about 90%+ of the time, I couldn't tell you what was happening.
Yeah. And then
it's very confusing.
When the running back guy runs through,
like he has to pitch it either sideways or backwards.
Right.
You can't forward pass it.
And then
it, like,
when he gets tackled-ish...
When he gets tackled, from what I could
then
gather,
they get back into the scrum thing.
Then there's a big pile of bodies.
Yeah.
And then the guy who gets tackled, like, somehow gets the ball out to the edge, and then one of his guys can pick it up and
take off again.
And continues the action.
When does it end? Like, do they have four downs?
From what I know, limited bandwidth, it ends when
they score.
One of the teams scores. They either run it across the end line or they kick it.
How do they turn it over, though? Because it seems like...
Sometimes, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll have possession of the ball, and then they'll just randomly kick it 70 yards down the field, and they say,
down.
You know what? I don't want the ball anymore. You guys take possession.
There must be a down or something. There must be some limit, because why would you give up the ball?
I wasn't seeing the referees or the officials.
Yeah.
I didn't see anybody like on a chain gang with downside.
I know, it's a little different. But
I'm telling you, it was a hard sport to digest.
It is hard.
Because I'm new to it.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm just getting exposed to it.
Yeah.
But those dudes
are New Zealand didn't give up the ball against Japan. They just kept scoring, took it across the line.
Hammering them.
They just kept scoring
I mean, I hate to kind of go with the old stereotype, but they just butt tiny?
Well, they're a lot tinier than the Kiwis.
They couldn't find in the whole country, some big dudes?
The Kiwis are, I mean, they're like world powers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're number one in the world.
Right.
Uh-huh. Pretty close.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was. Oh, wait, hold on. Here's the final score here.
They beat them nothing.
They beat them 40-12.
It sounds pretty convincing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It sounds like a pretty lopsided affair.
Didn't watch any of the men's soccer though. They lost to France, correct?
Lost to France. My understanding is France just kind of turned it on when they needed to, and just easy three
nilly.
Yeah,
yeah. Women play today. They're playing Zambia, I think, and they're like -3,000.
Right.
Huge favorite.
I did see your boy PFT from Barstool tweet. You know, he played rugby, I guess, at James Madison.
Okay.
I think.
He's a Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was claiming that all the lines were all screwed up because the games are shorter. The matches are shorter.
Okay.
And so he was taking like the dogs plus the points.
Are they 7 minute halves?
Is that what it is? He's like 14 minute games. And he said there's not going to be as much scoring as they think. So I don't know how that panned out, but the first couple it seemed like might have been in his favor.
Let's see.
I'm sure the lines will adjust.
Yeah, yesterday there was Australia beat Samoa 21-14. Not sure if that's considered a high scoring game. Argentina beat Kenya 31-12. France and the United States tied at 12. Fiji pummeled Uruguay 40-12. So there were some pretty high scoring games.
Right.
New Zealand, like I said, 40 points. But they scored every time they touched the ball.
Since I'm a rugby expert now, as I was exiting Audi Field last week and I was talking to Gabe Harris, brother of Josh Harris, owner of the Commanders, I was made aware of the fact that the U.S. is hosting 2031 Rugby World Championships.
Nice.
So keep that on your calendar. It's only 7 years off, you'd be in the distance. The Rugby World Cup or World Championships. I'm not sure exactly how
I guess
built.
The big story yesterday was that the Winter Olympics are going to be back in Salt Lake in 2034.
Mm-hmm.
With 10 years. Back, I think it was in Salt Lake in, was it 2002?
We're starting to get to that age where I'm wondering, well, I wonder if I'll be around it.
I know. I couldn't get that excited about it because I said, that's 10 years. I don't know where I'll be.
10 years? Decade away. I'm sure I'll have some tumor somewhere.
Does anybody, the Winter Olympics were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember where they were?
Hold on. 2 years ago, so that's 2022.
Weren't they in Beijing?
They were in Beijing.
The Winter Olympics were in Beijing?
Yeah, the Winter Olympics.
That seems kind of weird.
It's cold in China.
It doesn't seem like a typical standard like Winter Olympics post.
I don't know. Maybe
I couldn't tell you one storyline from that Olympics.
None. When I hear Winter Olympics, I think like Austria. France.
So of force.
So besides the skiing,
the drums,
the skating,
skating,
hockey. What are the big winter joints?
Ski jumping,
curling, figure skating.
Yeah,
skating.
You nailed the skating and the skiing.
Skating and skiing are the big ones.
Yeah.
Bobsled.
Luge.
What's the one where they shoot and then they ski and they there's a third event.
Biathlon.
Biathlon. Yeah. Or is it just two?
Yeah, the winters is kind of nubs, right? Maybe hockey's big.
Yeah. Hockey's big.
I don't get into the
hockey's
winners.
Big. Figure skating's big. I can't, but I don't even know. Like back in the day, you know, we used to have some pretty iconic skaters.
Luge and bobsled. I mean, those are like.
Yeah,
like
we mentioned those, but those aren't like kind of like signature events where you know the champs. You know what
I mean? No, of course.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. I mean, there's besides the ski, like the men's downhill.
Right, so
it's really good.
Was that Lindsey Vonn's last, or was it before that?
I don't even
remember.
Think
she was all boohooing and everything.
I think that was before.
It was before, yeah. I followed.
Tirico was talking to her yesterday, though. They were because they were hyping up the 2034.
They were talking. He was talking to Lindsey. Yeah, that poor thing's had so many knee surgeries.
I assume Pete Haley was pretty close by.
I would assume.
He was probably,
I would guess.
Yeah, he was probably right there in the studio.
It's one of his lead research guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's a lead guy. I just gave him that title.
He told me he was Pete's the right-hand man to Tirico's right-hand man.
All right.
So
That sounds pretty good, though.
That sounds pretty important.
Yeah.
Sounds like a pretty good deal for him.
It's only one degree of separation away. Yeah. He's getting there. I think he should call himself producer. I think producer sounds better.
Yeah, he's a car crash away.
I think producer sounds better, don't you think, than researcher?
Assistant producer, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I would call myself, I would call him a producer. We could call him producer slash researcher.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like correspondent.
Correspondent's good.
Yeah, but is he really a correspondent?
For us.
For us, he's a correspondent, yeah. So he could say that.
Mm-hmm.
He could say he's a correspondent for us. I met a guy from the Washington Post that goes to my pool. He's a videographer. And I was trying to wrap my head around a videographer for the Washington Post. But essentially, he's like a TV producer. He just goes around and he gets audio and video and they slam it on the website.
He's looking for content at all times.
Yeah. You know? Because not many people are just picking up the old school paper anymore, Case.
I would guess that it's pretty much a dying breed.
Yeah. I mean, when I walk around, do you ever see a newspaper at someone's doorstep anymore?
Sometimes I see them at the bottom of people's driveways wrapped up.
You still do.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but sometimes
I don't know that I've seen one
in
years.
A car drives down my street every morning when I'm leaving at 4:30.
Throws one or two out the window.
And they throw a couple out the window.
So he does do a couple.
Right on my cul-de-sac.
Yep.
I think my next-door neighbor gets it.
Still gets it. Yeah. I think my mom gets one shocking. Of them. I think she gets one of the local papers.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, it is an open line Thursday. You're welcome to call us throughout on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up later in the show at 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Nikki Javala, Commanders reporter for the Washington Post. We saw her in person a few days ago out at the media event in Ashburn. She'll be on the show at 8. When we come back, we'll get into the Junk Sports page. The Nats got pwned last night. Mm-hmm. Commander's first practice is in the books and more. We'll hit that when
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We come back. Time to get into the Junks sports page, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need a quick burst of energy? Who doesn't need that? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot for steady energy and long-lasting focus. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Find both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great.
You know what Dee's been doing for me lately?
I don't.
She's sitting there on her phone in bed, and I'm flopping around like a fish trying to fall asleep.
Yep.
She just, unbeknownst to me, she just started playing. I wasn't really paying attention. She started playing like sleep music. And she's been doing it for like a week or two, and she swears that I'm sleeping better.
Is it like white noise, or is it actually
It's not white noise. It's like just tunes. Like some sort of like soothing tune.
Soothing, yeah. Like new age music to kind of put you to sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she hasn't even verbalized it to me. She's just quietly just playing it in the background.
Yeah.
And unwittingly, it's working.
Kind of shockingly, my wife had always been kind of anti like white noise. But I think the fact that my goofy sleep apnea machine.
Yeah. Well, that's white noise.
The fan beside the bed.
Yeah.
And now she's augmenting it with either like white noise out of her phone or... Huh. Taylor Swift piano tunes to put me to sleep.
Well, she's doing the same thing.
No, they're like piano versions, no lyrics, no singing. Of the Taylor Swift's top 50 songs.
Gotcha.
Telling you, it's butt soothing.
All right,
it works.
All right.
Now just look at the bags. You wouldn't realize it works, but I think it's working. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's amazing. Look at our wives taking care of us.
It's fantastic. I need as much white noise as possible to get to sleep.
I just need the ashwagandha gummies and the melatonin. Yeah. I'm good.
The ashwagandha gummies. Sure. Sure.
That's what it is.
All right, I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, it's ashwagandha. I don't know what it does. It just relaxes you.
Sure.
But
evens you out.
And then you take a couple of melatonins.
Perfect.
Out, 30 minutes out.
Love it.
Outie.
Yeah, everybody needs a sleep routine.
And, of course, the five fans.
Yeah, that certainly helps.
I don't even want to know what my electric bill is going to be because five fans have been rolling for like 6 weeks straight and haven't turned them off.
Yeah.
Even during the day when we're not up there, they're running.
Because you don't turn on the AC.
No, the AC runs too, but I don't know.
AC runs like 78 or something.
I don't know. We just kind of forget to turn them off and they just run.
You're going to cringe when you get that
bill. The ceiling fan literally runs 24 hours.
Yeah. It's all right. You'll be all right. You can afford it. You're rich.
Yeah, right.
All right, what do you got?
I will be when my daughter graduates. I'll be rich.
Yeah.
All right, so Commanders' first day of training camp yesterday. Kind of. Actually, 23rd, the veterans reported, but they were all on the field yesterday. I was thinking about going over to camp tomorrow, but I was texting the PR guy.
Right.
And I said, hey, what's the schedule? He goes, yeah, well, they're pretty much off the field at 10:30, and they're in the classrooms. I said, well, what's the point? I'm not going to go over there. He's actually, practices with full pads will wrap up around 11, he said, on Friday.
There you go. You can get there for a half hour.
Post-practice
not
media.
Not really worth it.
Post-practice media from 11 to 12:30. Don't really care about that.
What are you going to ask questions?
Yeah, I'm not doing that. So, I mean, if they were going to be out there on the field for a half hour and I could catch a half hour of it, I'd go. But I don't know if I'd be able
it's
to
It's a pain.
That.
You have to park.
Hey, so, you already had the one-on-one with Coach Quinn a few days ago.
Yeah, my boy.
I think you're good for now.
DQ's my boy.
Salisbury guys.
DQ and AP.
They stick together.
Mm-hmm.
Goals.
But apparently JD looked good.
Well, they're the obligatory first day of camp, positive reviews. We'll get into Hit the Skins at 7 o'clock. A little bit and go into maybe some more detail of some of the videos that are out there. But, they're just literally just dropping back and just throwing passes against air.
I mean, correct. Guys are in t-shirts and shorts, no pads, like no real hitting yet.
Yeah, I mean, it is cool. It's exciting.
Oh, it's good to see them out there.
But you just can't draw any conclusions yet.
Not yet.
No.
A little too early.
You did see a couple reactions from what's the quarterback's coach's name? Like Kavita or whatever his name is.
Tavita.
David Blau is one of the.
I'll double check, but I think
it's Pritchard.
Pritchard is the one that I saw. He was.
Did they keep him from the last?
He was retained.
He was a holdover, and
they didn't keep that many guys.
Animated.
I think they kept two, maybe.
Yes, Kerrigan Tavita Pritchard.
Yeah. Maybe Pritchard.
Tavita Pritchard. He was a little animated after a couple of his throws. He got a little fired up. So,
all right, couple other NFL news stories from yesterday. In San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk, we've been talking about him for weeks. He's holding in, meaning he shows up for camp, but he doesn't actually practice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But holding out, meaning you're not at practice at all. Trent Williams, he
so
wants...
So do you save money that way? By holding in?
I think you do.
I think you save the $50,000.
It's like $50,000.
Well, that's totally what they should do.
You show up. You're in your T-shirt. You walk around. You watch your teammates sweating their Bozaks off.
Right.
And you save $50,000.
But you show that you have good will, like you want to be there to practice, right. But you just want your deal done. Is Trent Williams holding in or holding out?
No, he's holding out.
So he's dumb, and he should hold in.
So Trent Williams signed a
six-year,
$130 million. I guess it's more of a sign that you really want to get it done. I don't know.
Well, here's
I don't know how they do that, but he signed a six-year, $138 million deal
in
2021.
And he's only in like year three or four of it.
Right, but he's got no more guaranteed money.
No more guaranteed money.
And he sees all these other tackles getting great deals, like Christian Darrisaw, who just signed with the Vikings.
He wants his last real big bite at the apple. I mean, he's 36. Like,
yeah.
This is his last
chance. And statistically, he was the best left tackle in football.
He's at the top of his game, even though he's old.
Yeah.
He's made 11 straight Pro Bowls, whatever that means.
He wants guaranteed money.
He wants to be G'd up, because let's go out there and he shatters his kneecap. They technically don't have to pay him anything.
Right.
So right now, Williams has fallen below Darrisaw at, this is annual salary, because he's making 28.25. Penei Sewell for the Lions is making 28. Houston Texans tackle Laremy Tunsil is making 25.
Right.
Andrew Thomas for the Giants is making 23.5. Okay, so Williams is below all those guys. And Williams last year had a 96% pass block win rate, tops in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I'm the best tackle in football.
Yep.
Pay me like
exactly. I don't blame him.
G me up.
Yeah.
I don't blame him one bit.
So protect me.
That's going on.
He might have two really good years left, and that gets him to 38.
Yeah, but what if he's still playing at the highest rate? You got to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
If he was the highest rate tackle
at 36. 40 years old, he's going to play left tackle at 40.
Yeah, maybe.
He might. I mean, I know it's rare.
I mean, he's still at the top of his game at 36.
If he can keep performing like that, of course, you keep banking $30 million a year while you can.
Although at some point, I mean, what's the difference between $400 million and $500 million? I mean, I know you could say $100 million, but I mean,
well,
he's made so much money.
I think at one point he was business partners with Adrian Peterson, like with a gym.
Yeah.
Like
he lose a bunch of dough.
I don't know. I don't know his financials, but if he's going into like joint ventures with Adrian Peterson, he needs to make as much money as possible. He
did
needs
you,
to keep banking
see,
all that dough.
Antonio Brown, who did file for bankruptcy, just had his seventh child. Seventh child. He was in the hospital. He looked happy holding the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it was like a week after he was making out with Lil' Kim somewhere.
Lil' Kim.
Who looks gross now with all the plastic surgery.
He gives zero Fs on Twitter. If he doesn't care about anything.
He'll
put anything on his Twitter.
Yeah.
All right, a couple other things in football before we move on to baseball. Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison found himself in a quote-unquote dark place after his arrest earlier this month on suspicion of DUI.
Mm-hmm.
This was the second arrest, I believe.
He was arrested
for going 140.
Correct.
In, I don't know, 55, 65.
I mean, he claimed he had a pet emergency.
Right.
Where he was driving 140 miles per hour.
Yeah. So he's making his first public comments after the second arrest. He says, I was surprised by the support I received. I was in a dark place. Didn't think it was going to be like that. He was feeling down, and it really uplifted him. So we'll see what happens there. So he was in a bad spot. Lamar Jackson didn't have a great day yesterday in Ravens camp, but he's coming
just
off
just a little sickly, right?
He was coming off a sickness. Yeah, apparently he was very sick and had to leave camp a few days ago. But I read he was only on the field for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Valdez, did you read that? You probably have more details.
Well, he said he went to the meetings and he seemed fine, but he got on the field and maybe got a little tuckered out.
He gets a yearly sickness.
Yeah.
This is pretty standard.
Yeah. Okay.
He gets training campitis where he just wants to miss a few days.
He might be like my wife, who like every time of year she just starts sneezing and coughing.
No, it's a thing. Lamar gets sick like really bad, like once a year.
It's an annual tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it might
it's almost like a toddler.
Yeah. But it might be like an allergy thing or something. It could be an air quality thing. I don't know.
This is just me speaking. I think he has a poor diet.
Mm. You think that's it?
I think he has a poor diet. Mm.
Well, I would know. I certainly have a poor diet.
All right. Diet's not great.
Baseball yesterday/last night. Padres pounded the Nats. They trailed 3-0 early, but then they rolled out 12 straight runs. They had 20 hits. Mitchell Parker didn't look great. Vargas, who of course plays infield for the Nats, pitched the last inning, the ninth inning.
Seems like there's been more position players pitching lately.
If you saw the video or watched the game, it was comical. He's throwing the ball 33 miles per hour.
I saw that.
What is that? Super slow one, base hit.
They gave up 2 hits in the inning.
I mean, that pitch made Leivan Hernandez look like Nolan Ryan. 33 miles an hour. 33? I don't know. It's got to be close.
I mean, it's pretty hard.
That's saying the StatCast era. There's a chance.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so soft.
I think I threw faster than 33 at Dave and Buster's last week with my kids.
I think Michael Rubin could throw 33.
But he didn't give up any runs. Gave up a couple of hits, but they didn't score.
The position players, I saw an article about this a few weeks ago, have pitched a ton of innings in the last year or two, like relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done pretty good. Like, their overall ERA is not bad for whatever reason. The guys are going
guys
in there, they're not used to the 50 and 60 mile an hour junk.
Exactly. Used to looking at gas coming down.
I'll never forget when Bryce Harper was here and he was trying to pander to the fans in D.C. and was walking around and he joined a softball league, like a kickball league.
Down in the mall.
Yeah, and they had video of him swinging and missing.
He couldn't hit it, He couldn't hit 8 mile per hour pitches.
One of the most humiliating videos
Mike
I've
Rizzo's
ever seen.
Like, what's going on?
I would put that up there with Michael Rubin's throw. It's maybe the two most embarrassing videos I've ever seen.
You gotta get that scrubbed.
Huh? Yeah, I mean,
you gotta get that scrubbed.
Look, you're just a rando, like 40-year-old dude, and you swing and miss in softball. Okay. It's not a big deal.
You're Bryce Harper.
You gotta make contact.
It's not that bad because, like you said, if you throw 33, you're just not used to it. And if you put it high enough in the zone, like you can't really get under it to launch it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's high enough, you just kind of throw it and pray that they'll hit it to someone.
Right. But he threw 33, gave up 2 hits, no runs. All right, so they lost 12-3. They will play. Jackson Merrill, by the way, local kid from Severna Park, had 4 hits for the Pods. That kid's just a stud. Padres, Washington today, final game of the series, a 12:05 start.
Ooh,
early.
Look at that.
Early start. It'll be Dylan Cease against Patrick Corbin. Also playing at 12 o'clock today, Baltimore playing Miami. Final game of that series, Corbin Burns against Rodery Munoz. And the Orioles lost 6-3 last night.
Even though they keep losing, it doesn't matter because the Yankees keep losing.
The Yankees have lost 22 of 32. And they got pounded by Francisco Lindor, who hit 2 bombs last night. 12-3, the Mets are playing really well.
Does that make
Mets have
day?
Won 15 of... I want to say the Mets have won 11 of 15 or 12 of 16. They're hot.
You love it when the Yankees swan dive and the Orioles are going south.
But the Orioles, I still think the Orioles are going to win that division. The Orioles will make a trade for a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
They will. They started a kid, Chase McDermott, last night, making his major league debut, who they got in the Trey Mancini trade from Houston. I didn't see his overall numbers. He didn't get the loss, but I guess he didn't pitch horrible. But, they'll make a move or two for pitchers.
When's the deadline?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah, midnight probably 4 o'clock next Wednesday. The Phillies lost to the Twins, so they lost that series. But Trey Turner hit another home run. In the month of July, Trey Turner, who, of course, was out for – he was out for a while with a hamstring injury, is hitting .360. All right, so roughly about 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
Is hitting .360, has 10 home runs and 22 RBIs in the month of July.
That's pretty strong.
I mean, he's putting up stupid crushing numbers. We were talking about the NBA TV deal, and we had Mike McCarthy on yesterday, and he was breaking it down, right? And TNT had matched the Amazon deal, which is an 11-year, $76 billion deal. So we thought that TNT was probably going to get it again, but the NBA said, Kembe'd them. And they said, no, we're taking the Amazon yeah. / ESPN / ABC deal.
We're taking that.
Even though
TNT
is supposedly
out.
Matched, they just decided.
TNT matched it. Yeah.
What
they decided
block.
They just want to go on with the future.
And
I guess
TNT's pissed. I mean, I don't know
they
the legalities because they matched the deal. So they think that they should be awarded it. And I don't know how that all works. I have to talk to a lawyer about that. Mm-hmm. But the NBA is not signing with TNT. They're going with Amazon Prime,
right.
ESPN, and ABC.
They should be pissed.
Yeah, well,
if you're a longtime partner.
4 decades.
You're a longtime partner, you know, 30, 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and you match a competing offer and you go with the new guys? That's an insult.
That's what they're doing.
It's insulting.
And so this will be the final year of TNT's NBA deal.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the press conference of the new UCLA head football coach. EB, you should have an eye on UCLA this fall. That's where your guy, Eric Bieniemy, is the offensive coordinator.
For Deshaun Foster.
Yep. We'll get into Deshaun Foster's presser at Big Ten Media Day. You don't want to miss that. If you missed it yesterday, we'll play it next here on The Fan. So Big Ten Media Days are going on right now in Indianapolis. As the college football season, we're just about a month away from probably the opening week kickoff. I know the Terps' first game is like late August.
Yeah, they call it week zero or whatever. Right. And there's 4 games on August 24th, but the following week, Labor Day weekend, is the big opener.
Right.
For most teams.
So at Media Day, every head coach is allotted a certain amount of time to go out, talk about the program, hype up, you know, the latest batch of recruits. Mm-hmm. You know, they're given a certain amount of time. I believe with the Big Ten, they're allowed 15 minutes to go out and speak to the media. They can field questions, talk about said program. Deshaun Foster, I mean, he was burning up the internet yesterday. He's the head coach at UCLA,
mm-hmm.
former player, had a pro career. I'm not sure how long he played.
Played for like 6 years, maybe. He had some decent numbers.
His press conference yesterday had me slapping my knee. We're going to play it right here.
By the way, this is his opening statement.
Okay, opening statement.
So, like, he's walking towards...
Yeah, he's walking out on the
podium. And
the big stage.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great... emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. It's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
Dude, he had nothing.
Yeah, he did.
He had nothing prepared.
He had nothing prepared.
I mean, look, you don't have to go out there and be the world's greatest
public speaker.
But. Like, you got to come with something.
Just
like
have some notes.
You're brand new coming into the conference. You got to hype up, you know, UCLA. Just give a 2-minute breakdown on what UCLA has done in their last, you know, their story.
Talk about
history.
Some of the players
We've
that you got.
X number of national titles. We've won this many Pac-8 or Pac-12 titles.
How did that interview go? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you mean when they hired him?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they must have liked him.
Well, apparently he gets very nervous in public speaking.
So right,
that's kind of his thing. They said later on after that, when he was meeting with reporters in like an informal setting, he was awesome.
Right.
He was perfect for himself.
I mean, it sounded like he was literally choking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it sounded like me about 10 years ago when Valdez.
A little
like,
and
Valdez,
a little.
No, not that. Valdez like, you got a spot. And I didn't have a script,
oh, yeah.
and we couldn't.
You
push
tried
it,
to ad lib,
and I tried to ad lib. I literally had a panic attack on the air.
Really?
I thought I was gonna.
Oh, I don't remember. That.
I thought I was gonna swallow my own tongue. Like I told about me like 20 seconds in. I was like, "You got a break." I was like,
"You
got
I remember that.
Die.
You said bail. You told me in my ear, bail,
like, you gotta,
bail, bail.
You have to abort mission. Like Deshaun Foster, should have aborted the mission. Like, I feel bad for
it. I didn't actually see it. Did he have, like, a little notepad, some notes he could read off?
No. He just strolled out onto the stage.
If you're got a fear of public speaking, write down everything you want to say and just read it.
Yeah, just bullet points.
I agree with you. So he can have a fear of public speaking. That's fine. That's normal. I'm sympathetic to it.
Yeah.
But be prepared then.
Correct.
Right. So it is an indictment on him.
Maybe he just choked. He said,
also not a great
have notes.
Not a great line of work for him to be a head coach of a major football power. Like,
there's you got to be able to address
there's
the
a lot
alums,
of public speaking involved with that gig.
Well, after every game, you're going to have to sit up there in a press conference.
Well, you got to do fundraising.
Yeah,
there's so much you got to
be like the forward face of the program.
Yeah,
You know what? UCLA botched it.
Yeah,
we can't have a guy afraid of crowds coaching a football team.
And
afraid
guy,
to stand
guy,
up.
Your guy Bieniemy, he's throwing the quarterback's arm off. You know what? Whatever UCLA's number is on the season, I'm fading them. I'm going to fade them today. I'm going to go under their win total.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
I just don't have a lot of confidence
in them. What's
the number?
Sounds a lot like Nick Sirianni cakes.
That's true. It's true. Nick Sirianni was bad.
Look, I am swayed,
Dan
by,
Campbell,
how, I'm swayed by how you look in press conferences. Yes.
I am too. Mariucci had a terrible press conference when he was first introduced. I bet against him, and he did pretty well in San Fran. He didn't do so great in Detroit.
I mean, does he inspire confidence in you? And I understand he was better in the smaller setting. But
because he's not a great public speaker doesn't mean he can't be a good coach.
But this is my favorite bit when Kicks writes someone off.
I know he does.
Their first day in front of the camera.
Now, sometimes
I'm Team Cakes, though.
Sometimes I'm right.
I am Team Cakes.
But sometimes I'm spectacularly wrong. Sometimes it's a big fireball.
How could you bet on him? I mean, if you can't even put a sentence together, it's hard to fathom that you'd be some sort of extraordinary coach. Sorry.
Oh, I'm not
and
saying.
And I get anxiety.
I'm not saying he's going to be extraordinary, but he might be decent. Now, the problem is, now they're in the Big Ten, so they've got a stretch where they're playing at LSU, they're playing Penn State, and they're playing Oregon.
I mean,
back-to-back-to-back.
He played at UCLA, too. Like, just go up and say, I'm pumped. I'm playing at, I'm coaching at my alma mater. I played here back in the day. I couldn't be more excited to bring UCLA football to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all like, he didn't do any of that.
He didn't.
He just almost swallowed his tongue and asked if anybody had any questions. What would people have questions about? You haven't talked about anything.
Right.
You haven't talked about your program.
I felt bad for him.
I feel bad for him too.
I have sympathy, but you should have prepared.
I agree. Yeah.
Proper preparation prevents poor performance. It's JP's thing.
That is one of JP's bits.
Proper preparation.
JP's getting channeled while he's away at the Bahamas.
I actually said that to one of my kids.
If JP was the head coach, he'd give you the history of UCLA.
Yeah. JP would go out and he'd flame the audience for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But at least he'd say something.
You need a cane to take him off.
Deshaun Foster needed to go out and flame the audience, and he failed.
You know who else was terrible at the podium and terrible coaching? Was your boy from the Niners, the offensive line coach, Tom Sula.
Who was here?
Tom Sula. Sula. Yeah.
He was
terrible.
Bad.
Now, and he was a bad coach.
Yeah, head coach.
Yeah, head coach, correct.
So, I don't know. Deshaun Foster could break the mold. He could be a Sirianni. Although, Sirianni's under a lot of pressure in Philly, by the way. This is a big year for him.
I would agree.
Big year for him. Or break.
But he, I think they're going to be good.
I think he's decent.
Yeah. But I agree. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, I think they will make the playoffs. But if they don't, he's gone.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Foster.
I don't know why he's such a...
I mean, he went like 30 seconds without saying anything.
Why is he such a household name? You look at his pro career, and it was modest. I mean, he almost had 1,000 yards three times. You know, rushed for like 900 yards three times.
Was
three
he like a
row.
Heisman finalist when he was in college? Maybe. I can't remember. That could be like why he was...
Maybe. He just is like a very memorable name.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And he's been coaching for... I don't know, 10, 12 years?
Yeah.
He started out at UCLA, and then he went to Texas Tech, and then he went back to UCLA.
Right.
Look, I know that conferences are weird now. They aren't geographic anymore. But it's weird when UCLA is hosting Indiana in week two. Right? The people in LA, they're weird and kind of apathetic about attending sporting events. How empty is the role? They're still playing the Rose Bowl, right? They haven't moved venues. Yeah. How empty is the Rose Bowl going to be when the Hoosiers show up?
When the Hoosiers show up.
On September 14th.
By the way.
And then they got to play Rutgers on the road. So UCLA's got to go all the way to Jersey for a conference game.
Maryland's homecoming this year, unless I'm mistaken, they're hosting Southern California for their homecoming.
By the way, huge news yesterday. It looks like the NCAA is about to approve increased scholarships. Football's going to add 20 scholarships from all this lawsuit money.
Right.
They're going to get to 105. Basketball's going to add 2 to 15. Baseball's going to add 22.
It's a lot.
To get to 34. You realize how huge that is for baseball kids?
Yeah.
Softball's added 13. And volleyball is going from 12 to 18, basically full roster.
Yeah.
That's good for somebody in here.
That's good for somebody's bottom line.
Because the little kids in volleyball are the ones that tend to not get the scholarships. They give them all to the big kids.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have scholarships for most everybody. Now, the problem is not every program will be fully funded.
Right.
The smaller schools won't. But that's big news.
That's good.
Big news yesterday.
That's good news.
Especially think about baseball. Baseball kids adding 22 scholarships.
It's a lot.
That's crazy.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into the Commanders. We are bringing back Hit the Skins. It's time for it, EB. I hope you're ready for Hit the Skins. I hope you're more prepared for Hit the Skins than Deshaun Foster was for his presser at Big Ten Media Day.
I definitely will be.
All right, so we'll do that when we come back on The Fan. So Big Ten Media Days are going on right now in Indianapolis as the college football season. We're just about a month away from probably the opening week kickoff. I know the Terps' first game is like late August.
Yeah, they call it week zero or whatever, and there's four games on August 24th, but the following week, Labor Day weekend, is the big opener for most teams.
So at Media Day, every head coach is allotted a certain amount of time to go out, talk about the program, hype up, you know, the latest batch of recruits. You know, they're given a certain amount of time. I believe with the Big Ten, they're allowed 15 minutes to go out and speak to the media. They can field questions, talk about said program. Deshaun Foster, I mean, he was burning up the internet yesterday. He's the head coach at UCLA, former player, had a pro career. I'm not sure how long he played.
Played for like
in the pros.
6 years, maybe. He had some decent numbers.
His press conference yesterday had me slapping my knee. We're going to play it right here.
By the way, this is his opening statement.
Okay, opening statement.
So, like, he's walking towards.
Yeah, he's walking out on the podium and the big stage.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in LA. It's us and USC.
You got nothing.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
Dude, he had nothing.
Yeah, he did.
He had nothing prepared.
He had nothing prepared.
I mean, look, you don't have to go out there and be the world's greatest
public speaker.
But, like, you got to come with something.
Just
like,
have some notes.
You're brand new coming into the conference. You got to hype up, you know, UCLA. Just give a two-minute breakdown on what UCLA has done in their last, you know,
talk about
history.
Some of the players
We've
that you got.
X number of national titles. We've won this many Pac-8 or Pac-12 titles.
How did that interview go? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you mean when they hired him?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they must have liked him.
Well, apparently he gets very nervous in public speaking.
So right,
that's kind of his thing. They said later on after that when he was meeting with reporters in like an informal setting, he was awesome.
Right.
He was perfect for himself.
I mean, it sounded like he was literally choking.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it sounded like me about 10 years ago when I went Valdez. Valdez, like, you got a spot. And I didn't have a script. Oh, yeah. And we couldn't
you
push
tried
it.
To ad-lib it?
And I tried to ad-lib it. I literally had a panic attack on the air.
Really?
I thought I was going to.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I thought I was going to swallow my own tongue. Like, I told Valdez, like, 20 seconds in, I was like, you got a break. I was like,
you gotta, I remember that. You said bail. You told me in my ear, bail, like, bail.
You have to abort mission. Like, the Sean Foster should have aborted the mission. Like, I feel bad for it.
I didn't actually see it. Did he have, like, a little notepad, some notes he could read off of?
No. He just strolled out onto the stage.
And if you're got a fear of public speaking, write down everything you want to say and just read it.
Just bullet points.
I agree with you. So he can have a fear of public speaking. That's fine. That's normal.
It happens,
I'm sympathetic to it.
Yeah.
But be prepared then.
Correct.
Right. So it is an indictment on him.
Maybe
Sorry.
He just choked. He said,
also not a great
have notes.
Not a great line of work for him to be a head coach of a major football power. Like,
you got to be able to address
the
alums.
There's a lot of public speaking involved with that gig.
Well, after every game, you're going to have to sit up there in a press conference.
Well, you got to do fundraising.
Yeah,
there's so much you got to
be like the forward face of the program.
Yeah,
like,
you know what? UCLA botched it. They can't have a guy afraid of crowds coaching a football team.
And
afraid
guy,
to stand
guy,
up.
Your guy, Bieniemy, he's throwing the quarterback's arm off. You know what? Whatever UCLA's number is on the season, I'm fading them. I'm going to fade them today. I'm going to go under their win total.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
I just don't have a lot of
What's
confidence
the number?
To them.
Sounds a lot like Nick Sirianni cakes.
That's true. It's true. Nick Sirianni was bad.
Look, I am swayed,
Dan
by,
Campbell,
how, I'm swayed by how you look in press conferences. Yes.
I am too. Mariucci had a terrible press conference when he was first introduced. I bet against him, and he did pretty well in San Fran. He didn't do so great in Detroit.
I mean, does he inspire confidence in you? And I understand he was better in the smaller setting. But
because he's not a great public speaker doesn't mean he can't be a good coach.
But this is my favorite bit when Cakes writes someone off.
I know he does.
Their first
it
day in front of the camera.
Bit. Now, sometimes
I'm Team Cakes, though.
Sometimes I'm right.
I am Team Cakes.
But sometimes I'm spectacularly wrong. Sometimes it's a big fireball.
How could you bet on him? I mean, if you can't even put a sentence together, it's hard to fathom that you'd be some sort of extraordinary coach. Sorry.
Oh, I'm not
and
saying.
And I get anxiety.
I'm not saying he's going to be extraordinary, but he might be decent. Now, the problem is, now they're in the Big Ten, so they've got a stretch where they're playing at LSU, they're playing Penn State, and they're playing Oregon.
I mean,
back-to-back-to-back.
He played at UCLA, too. Like, just go up and say, I'm pumped. I'm playing at, I'm coaching at my alma mater. I played here back in the day. I couldn't be more excited to bring UCLA football to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all like, he didn't do any of that.
He didn't.
He just almost swallowed his tongue and asked if anybody had any questions. What would people have questions about? You haven't talked about anything.
Right.
You haven't talked about your program.
I felt bad for him.
I felt bad for him too.
I have sympathy, but he should have prepared.
I agree. Yeah.
Proper preparation prevents
poor performance.
It's JP's thing.
That is one of JP's bits.
Proper preparation.
JP's getting channeled while he's away at the Bahamas.
I actually said that to one of my kids.
If JP was the head coach, he'd give you the history of UCLA.
Yeah. JP would go out and he'd flame the audience for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But at least he'd say something.
You need a cane to take him off.
Deshaun Foster needed to go out and flame the audience, and he failed.
You know who else was terrible at the podium and terrible coaching? Was your boy from the Niners, the offensive line coach, Tom Sula.
Who was here?
Tom Sula.
Sula.
Yeah.
He was
terrible.
Bad.
Now, and he was a bad coach.
Yeah, head coach.
Yeah, head coach, correct.
So, I don't know. Deshaun Foster could break the mold. He could be a Sirianni. Although, Sirianni's under a lot of pressure in Philly, by the way. This is a big year for him.
I would agree.
Big year for him. Make or break.
But he, I think they're going to be good.
I think he's decent.
Yeah. But I agree. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, I think they will make the playoffs. But if they don't, he's gone.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for Foster.
I don't know why he's such a...
I mean, he went like 30 seconds without saying anything.
Why is he such a household name? You look at his pro career, and it was modest. I mean, he He almost had 1,000 yards three times. You know, rushed for like 900 yards three times.
Was
three
he like a
row.
Heisman finalist when he was in college? Maybe. I can't remember. That he, could be like why he was.
Maybe. He just is like a very memorable name.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know I mean,
yeah. And he's been coaching for, I don't know, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
He started out at UCLA and then he went to Texas Tech and then he went back to UCLA.
Right.
Look, I know that conferences are weird now. They aren't geographic anymore, but it's weird when UCLA is hosting Indiana in week two. the people in LA, they're weird and kind of apathetic about attending sporting events. How empty is the role? They're still playing the Rose Bowl, right? They haven't moved venues. Yeah. How empty is the Rose Bowl going to be when the Hoosiers show
up? When the Hoosiers show up.
On September 14th.
By the way.
And then they got to play Rutgers on the road. So UCLA's got to go all the way to Jersey for a conference game.
Maryland's homecoming this year. Unless I'm mistaken, they're hosting Southern California for their homecoming.
By the way, huge news yesterday. It looks like the NCAA is about to approve increased scholarships. Football's going to add 20 scholarships from all this lawsuit money.
Right.
They're going to get to 105. Basketball's going to add 2 to 15. Baseball's going to add 22.
It's a lot.
To get to 34. You realize how huge that is for baseball kids?
Yeah.
Softball's added 13, and volleyball is going from 12 to 18, basically full roster.
Yeah.
That's good for somebody in here.
That's good for somebody's bottom line.
Because the little kids in volleyball are the ones that tend to not get the scholarships. They give them all to the big kids.
Yeah.
Now they're going to have scholarships for most everybody. Now, the problem is not every program will be fully funded.
Right.
The smaller schools won't, but that's big news.
That's good.
Big news yesterday.
That's good news.
Especially think about baseball. Baseball kids
big.
Adding 22 scholarships.
It's a lot.
That's crazy.
All right, we come back. We'll get into the Commanders. We are bringing back Hit the Skins. It's time for it, EB. I hope you're ready for Hit the Skins. I hope you're more prepared for Hit the Skins than Deshaun Foster was for his presser at Big Ten Media Day.
I definitely will be.
All right, so we'll do that when we come back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.